Good morning again. This is Robert Rawson speaking to you from the Crockett Church of Christ, located at 7484 Highway 4 West in Senatobia, Mississippi. Coming to Senatobia, you turn there, going downtown, and you will take a bypass probably, go around by Walmart and all, and the college there at Northwest, and you will come to Highway 4, and you take a right there and go right out toward the Tunica side. And we're 7 miles away from Interstate 55 on the Tunica side of the interstate. And so come and be with us at 9:30 this morning, 10:30 this morning, and again on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. We invite you to study the God's Word with us, to bring your Bible with you and enjoy a study of God's Word together. Let me mention to you the idea of obedience, and how important obedience is to the Lord. He talked about obedience in many ways, throughout the New Testament of the Bible. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, he speaks in regard to what real faith is, and he illustrates it by many examples of the Old Testament time. He said, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he sustained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he was being made dead, yet speaketh." Then he says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him." I want to call your attention to the fact that faith is so important to God, that without faith it is impossible to please God. When we find ourselves not believing in his word, not believing in what he has said, we find ourselves disobedient to his will, and we're not pleasing in the sight of God. The very next verse notes to us something very common that we know about, and that's, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith." What did Noah do by faith? He received a warning from God, a warning of an impending great flood to come upon the earth, and to prepare an ark of gopher wood. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Notice that he moved with respect to God, respect to his word, respect to his will, respect to what he asked him to do, build an ark. And that's what he did. Notice in regard to this matter that Abraham follows Noah on this occasion. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Notice in this connection, Abraham was one who was warned of God about a time that he was to get up and he was to leave his home country. He was to leave his home place, and he was to go to a place that God would show him. He did that. It is said that Abraham obeyed God. Obedience is a part of saving faith. In each one of these instances, you'll see that they responded as God asked them to do. And this is an illustration of what real faith is. By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, it's impossible to please God. Without that faith, it's impossible to please God. And then verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. And then it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place that he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. Notice in the connection with all these things, they responded to the voice of God. They responded to the teaching of the Lord. They responded to His Word. What do you and I do with the Word of God, the sacred Word of God, the Bible, today? Do we find ourselves obeying the Lord and following His will, doing His will, doing it His way as we respond to Him? Or do we find ourselves thinking that faith is more or less an idea that Grandpa has said? And that He'll understand if we don't get around to doing things. He'll understand and He'll forgive us if we don't get around to doing what He said to do, because we didn't quite understand it. If we are that way about the idea of faith, we have missed the point here in Hebrews chapter 11. Because again and again and again, faithful characters of God in the Old Testament are listed as examples of what they did when they had a saving faith. When you and I have today a saving faith, we'll respond to what Jesus has said for us to do and be. Notice that in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Do we obey Jesus in the way that we talk? Do we obey Jesus in the way that we walk? Do we obey Jesus in the way that we think? Do we obey Jesus in the way that we use our funds and help those in times of need? Do we obey Jesus as we live? If we do, that's what He says He will bless. He says, if you obey me, I will bless you. But if you do not obey me, listen to what it says again. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience for the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, complete, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We invite you to come to the Crockett Church of Christ, located at 7478 Highway 4 West, of Senatobia, 38668. And we invite you to be a part of the services with us and study the Bible with us and put into practice what you read there in the Scripture for you to do. All of us find ourselves in a way in which we enjoy the relationship with the Lord, a relationship with Him in ways that we find in the Scripture stating for us to do. Obedience is very important. Last week we took a look at the idea of the tongue and the misuse of the tongue. And he tells us that the tongue is a worldly thing, set on fire by hell itself, because we are doing hellish things as we have the tongue to be used in a vain, sinful way. We're told that that's not the way to do. And when we talk about that, we're talking about a way of life that disobeys the faith that we have in God. Because we have a belief in God that He'll overlook that He'll not blame us on that, He'll not condemn us on that, and yet He says that He will. In Matthew 12, our Lord Jesus pointed out this very thing. By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Notice that the words that we speak with our tongue and use with our tongue are going to either go justify us or they're going to condemn us. Sad it is the case that we find ourselves being people who are condemned of God because we did not use our tongue as He instructed us to do. Why do we find things in the Old Testament still recorded, still available to us today, to know that God worked with various people back in that day and time? Paul writes in Romans 15 at verse 4, "The things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." He goes on to tell us in Romans 8 verse 24 that hope saves us. If we are saved by something other than hope, we see it and thus we do not hope for it. That's not what it is. We're to be people who hope, and as we do, we find salvation as a result. When the Scripture says the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, He's talking about a way to be saved from sin. And as we look at these examples of those people who had a faith in God and did obey Him and followed His will, we find a way in which we today can be obedient to the Lord in His Word, telling us what we should be and do as we live on this earth. Don't you think so? The things written aforetime were written for our learning. And if we are written for our learning, what did we learn from them? Did we learn that they were obedient to the Lord and thus they were blessed? Or did we learn that they were disobedient to the Lord and thus they were condemned? Notice that there's a contrast put with several of these that are listed here in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he was being dead, yet speaketh. Notice that Cain did not offer a more excellent sacrifice. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 17. And if we apply that to the idea of Cain and Abel, we see that Abel heard the Word of God, responded to it obediently, and brought there an animal sacrifice, which Cain did not offer a more excellent sacrifice, and thus it was not accepted by God. When you and I find ourselves in life looking at those examples that are listed here of which people did not obey the Lord, look at the very example by which he says this in verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Are we diligently seeking the way of God in every walk of our lives? As we come to do things and be it people and be with people and do things, are we finding ourselves enjoying our obedience to the Lord's Word and the Lord's will in our daily walk of life? Even in our relationships with others, we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18 and 19, that the way that we're mistreated by others should be met with patience. We should not be people who retaliate and are rude and mannerly to them. We're to be people who take this matter with patience. Our Lord Jesus is a very example of that very thing. For he is used in that passage in reference to his time of suffering, and how that in his suffering, he withheld that. He did not speak roughly in reply. He did not retaliate in reply. He found himself committing himself unto him, that is God his Father, committing himself unto him who judges all things righteously. The way of God and the way of peace is the way of the Lord's way. And that's the way in which Jesus lived. He followed the example. He was not always treated nicely and well. In fact, was crucified. But nevertheless, he trusted in the Heavenly Father's will. telling the disciples in Matthew 16, commencing about verse 12, that he would go by the chief elders and by the rulers. He would be punished unto death. And in 3 days, I will rise again. He knew that the Father had promised him that he would be resurrected from the dead, that he would be an example that would stand all of time because he was faithful to obey the will of God. When you and I obey the will of God today, do we leave this earth in death in a hope that we will be blessed of God in the hereafter? Surely we do, because as we leave this earth, we leave it with a hope within that we will be saved by Him. That's found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. We're to be the people who obey the way of God. The Word of God is to be a part of our daily walk of life. And we're to be people who obey that Word as we hear it and as we see it and as we understand it. We're to be obedient to it. In the previous chapter of the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, he tells us this in verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another daily, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice that the Hebrew writer here tells us that we're to obey God in the assembly, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. The idea of the church being a part of God's great plan, and the idea of the brethren working together to understand His will and to put it into practice in the communities wherein they serve, certainly is a part of that obedience to His will. He goes on to say in Hebrews 10 and verses 35 and 37, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not. Notice in this connection, he goes on to say in Hebrews 10 and 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He describes a faith that is going onward and going upward. He describes that faith as not being a faith that is stopped and we go back. He says not going back, but going forward. We have that great hope in the Lord. And when death comes upon us, we have that hope by which we have lived and therefore by which we now pass from this life into His presence. Someone may say, but we can't obey God. We can't obey all that God has said in His Word. After all, even you have said that there were 600 plus commandments under the Old Testament time. Yes, there were. And the people could respond to them as they came upon the events that were described by them. One day at a time, 1 hour at a time, and they had to work that way that God had said in order for Him to bless them, and thus they were blessed. Think about your life and mine. How can we respond to the Lord and be obedient to His will? There are some major things in the Bible that we speak of and that we all understand that are around us every day. We understand them because they are here and available to us. For example, those that are in times of need, circumstances of widows and orphans. Notice he says in James 1, beginning at verse 26, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We can be people who do that. Did he tell the amount that we're to give to those who have need? Did he tell us of the time that we're to spend with visitation of those who are in need? Notice what he said. He said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit, to care for. Did he say how much care was to be given? Did he say there's a minimum amount of care to be given? Or did he say care for them and keep oneself unspotted from the world? We're to be people who follow the work of God and the will of God in our lives. And we can do that. We can do that for sure because we understand His will when He says, care for the widows and orphans and keep oneself unspotted from the world. There is a time in which we find ourselves not wanting to do, not willing to do, not willing to even see. We don't see people in need. We think of them from the standpoint of hard luck and that they go on and on about their way, and that's the way that they go. That's not the will of God to us. The will of God is to see the fatherless and widows in their affliction. There are times in which we need to go by someone's house. We need to visit. We need to be people who see a need that is there and meet that need as we can. When we're part of a congregation that's eager to be people who want to know. And as a result, being told, we can all blend together and make that a wonderful service of service to those individuals. But if we're people who just don't see and don't ever talk about it and don't ever get involved with others, we'll be people who never do what God says do in pure religion. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We can be people who find ourselves unspotted from the world when we're visiting in a movie. The movie that has scenes and has words that are thereby terrible words before God. We can find ourselves with fingers in our ears. We can find ourselves getting up and going to the foyer. We can find ourselves exiting the movie totally. We can be people who follow the will of God and find ourselves avoiding those worldly ways of life. And that's what he says there in James 1 and at 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We can find ourselves in a situation that we didn't know was there, we didn't know was upcoming, but we can make our adjustments about it. We can demonstrate to others around about us who are watching, and they are watching because we have appeared to be religious before. We've invited them to enjoy a revival with us and enjoy a Bible study with us. And we have been people who sought them to be people who grow in that way. And yet, when they are in that same movie and they see us enjoying and laughing at it and popping our knee with our hands with it and seeing the thing that's going on there without any other interruption, but if they see us with a finger in our ears, if they see us getting up and going to the foyer, if they see us exiting the building, more than words have been said. More effect has been given. More of a good example has been shared. Don't you think that's the way that it is? But others are going to say, well, people just don't do that. And why should I do that? You should do that because you're trying to obey the Lord. You're trying to be obedient to what God has said. And in His Word, it is speaking directly to you and me to be people who serve what God has said. And when He says to practice pure religion, He means for us to practice a religion that is not impure. He means for us to practice a religion that cares. And religious activities of the Crockett Church of Christ are such as we care, and thus we serve. Wonderful work is done, and wonderful service is given. And it's not our work that we're doing. As Paul writes in Philippians 3, he says it's not our works that we do. We're not people who save ourselves. He says we're saved by the righteousness that is of Christ Jesus our Lord. We're thankful for Him and what He did for us. And then what He asks us to do, He asks us to be people who serve Him in every way that we can. And serving Him in a way that we can, we find a joy in our prayer life to God. We find a wonderful joy in prayer, in a prayer life that helps the cause of God in the world in which we live. Think about it. The Crockett congregation invites you to its regular services this morning at 9:30. Bible classes are done. And 10 o'clock, 10:30, will be the preaching service and the Lord's Supper time for us to engage. We'll find ourselves enjoying a night service for those who are not able to come on Sunday morning. They certainly are able to come back on Sunday nights many times and be a part of the Lord's Supper even then. Enjoy this relationship with God, because we enjoy being obedient to His will. We enjoy the hope that He's told us about. We enjoy the patience by which these people of Hebrews chapter 11 lived. Obedient to God's will, they found the blessing that God wanted them to have. What about in your life and mine? Are we finding our lives to be obedient to the work of God and the way of God? Are we finding ourselves to enjoy that relationship with Him? I trust that we are. You can hear this message again, CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. The lady down in Florida who set this up for us, she said she didn't add MS first. She added Crockett Church of Christ. She said, it always takes me to Texas. I said, yes, there is a congregation in Texas that is a Crockett area. And she said, but you're in Mississippi. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, why don't we add MS to Crockett? CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. She said, I get you every, you'll get it every time too. And you'll have that study that was done before. You will have that study that is there available to you now. CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. This is Robert Rawson.